Would you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 10? Matthew chapter 10, please. Today's title is The Ambassador for Christ. So what is the definition of ambassador? Dictionary defines it this way. An accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. In other words, what an ambassador says and does in a foreign country is a reflection of the country he was sent from. Am I correct? There are some bad behaved ambassadors. We who are born-again Christians are the ambassadors for Christ. Some of you are thinking, wow, I got promotion. Okay, where's my limousine and the chauffeur? Dream on. You ain't gonna get it. You'll get the open, convertible chariot when you get to heaven. The Apostle Paul told us that our citizenship is in heaven. This is a temporary. We are the sojourner. While we are here on earth, we represent Jesus Christ to all the unbelievers. And you're thinking, where'd you find that? Philippians chapter 3, please. Keep your finger in Matthew. Go to Philippians chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in where? Heaven. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, before the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, at the beginning of the third tour around the region of Galilee, he gave them a clear instruction how and what to say, how to say, and what to do. Also, he didn't stop there. He also told the future disciples who will live during the time of great tribulation. And then he didn't stop there either. He went on to tell us, the people who are living in present day, that's us, how to live the way we glorify God in our lives. That's where we are going to learn. That's the lesson we are going to learn this morning. We'll stop here and let's pray that asking the Lord to give us the wisdom to understand. Father, being an ambassador, the ambassadors of the Jesus Christ is a great task. We know that we don't have a wisdom to do it. We don't have a capability to do it. But we know this, that you're the one who is going to equip us. Let us behave like a children of God, not like what we've been doing. Father, we are asking you to give us courage to say no to the temptation and wisdom to say yes to the your truth, because you are God of truth. We don't want to do anything that disgrace your holy name. Teach us from your word, not from man's mouth, but from the Holy Spirit. Anoint our ears, anoint our heart to receive your guidance, your direction, and anoint the one who speaks, and please forgive his sins are many. Father, we pray for the President Obama and this election. Father, we are asking your will be done, and shake the President Obama's soul and those who are in charge, that they may turn to you. And we pray for the uniformed personnel, our troops, our police officers, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. Keep them safe. Another police officer got killed in San Diego. And comfort the families and family members and their friends. Chapter 10, verse 5 in the book of Matthew, please. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let's stop here for a moment. Is he saying that he has a racial problem? No. he is following the pattern that he was teaching them from Jerusalem and Judea and uttermost. The pattern of starting with the chosen people first and then outside. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, clean the lepers, and raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor copper in your money belt, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for worker is worthy of his food. Stop there again. I probably have mentioned this before. A disciple means a learner. In other words, it's a person who follows the teacher and learns from that person. Jesus had many disciples. Some hung around with him because he's a miracle worker. But some truly converted, believed in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus chose 12 men, and these were called apostles. Greek word for this apostle is apostolos, which means to send forth with a commission. To send forth with a commission. It was used by the Greeks for the personal representatives of the king. In other words, it is like an ambassador who functions with the king's authority. Are you with me? With the king's authority. Speaking of apostles, there are some people who are alive now. They call themselves, or somebody else who are around, call them apostles. I heard one guy claim that he's an apostle of prayer. And then one particular denomination, they actually called this person who is really higher in hierarchy and call him apostle. No. Absolutely no. Here are three qualifications of the Jesus' apostles in reality. First qualification is the apostle must have seen the risen Savior with eyeball to eyeball. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, Apostle Paul speaking, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? Alright, second qualification. Apostle must have a fellowship with the risen Savior. Go to the book of Acts, right after John. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, this man who have accompanied us all the time that Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. And one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Fellowship with the risen Savior. Third qualification of being an apostle of Jesus Christ is he, apostle, must have chosen by Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself, Christ himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It is the Lord who anoint person. It is the Lord who called them to be particular role in position of the job role. You can be like that. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the lady who ordained twice. I guess the first time was not enough, so she was ordained twice and she let everybody know about it. Ordination by man doesn't mean a thing. Are you understanding that? PhD and THD, thud and pooped, doesn't mean anything. PhD stands for, I call it, pile high and deep. human degree, human ordination is just a piece of paper. I like the way Pastor Chuck Smith did. And a friend of mine who used to work for him, and he said, Pastor Chuck, can I have an ordination paper? He said, Pastor Chuck leaned over to his secretary and called her name and said, this guy needs an ordination paper. Just print one and give it to him. I know some denominations go out of their way to have all this ceremony. You know, true ordination is from God. Unless you are called by God, please, I beg you not to be a pastor or anything like that. You will be one miserable person, and your congregation will be miserable than you. So do yourself a favor and do your congregation a favor. Don't be a pastor unless you are called by God. If you are called by God, by all means go. God will equip you. It means that the office of the apostleship of the Lord Jesus Christ is what? Close. Say it again. Close. So if you meet anyone who call themselves, I'm the apostle of Jesus Christ, and he say, oh yeah, walk away. I know what you're thinking. And that's, what about this guy Judas? Is he part of the apostles? No. He was replaced. And you're thinking, oh, the Matthias, the group of apostles decided, okay, we're going to cast the lot, and then we'll select as a replacement of Judas. All right, his name was mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. Does any of you know that he was mentioned any other places or wrote a letter or books in the New Testament and did anything? Any of you know? No. He was mentioned once. This is the example of a human ordination. Judas was replaced by the apostle Paul, the one God selected. One of my favorite Bible commentator is Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Right on. Great commentator. Great Bible scholar. But in one of his commentaries, he said, Judas was replaced by the apostleship of Judas was replaced by the Matthias. With all due respect, Dr. Wiersbe, you are wrong on that. Obviously, it's a man's commentary, not God's commentary. The best commentary you can find for the Bible is what? Verse 11 of chapter 10, back to Matthew. Now we see the instruction for the apostles. Verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is in, it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet, or surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's bad, don't you think? The apostle was supposed to start to minister to the Israelites first, as I mentioned, then to the Gentiles. These are the chosen people, and these apostles are chosen people, and they are not to compromise. If people reject their words, they are to leave them with the warning of God's judgment. Listen to me, please. When I evangelize, when I witness, when you do the same thing, when you witness, the listener have a choice. They can say yes, or they can say no to the free gift of God. That is Jesus Christ. When they say no, they are putting judgment on themselves. Are you with me? By saying no to God. We are not putting the judgment. It's God's judgment on them by themselves. Now, verse 16, we see the instruction to future disciples. Behold, I send you out as a sheep in the midst of the wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Holy Spirit. Okay? Verse 21. Now the brother will deliver up brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against the parent and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, they flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. What do you mean, future disciple? Now, Jesus is talking about the ministry of the Gentiles, because, how do I know? At this point, Holy Spirit has not come yet. Am I correct? Because Holy Spirit had to be breathed into the disciples after Jesus was resurrected. At this point, Jesus was not resurrected. He was in his physical body yet. He hasn't died yet. The Lord also mentioned about the worldwide persecution. And these are the reasons I believe that his instruction to the future disciples, that followers of Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation. God's servant will be like sheep in the midst of wolves. They will need to be tough-minded but tender-hearted. I like the way Pastor Chuck Swindoll said, have a skin of a rhinoceros, but heart of deer. I like that. This opposition will come from the organized religion. Verse 17, and government, verse 18, and even the family in verse 21. Friend of mine, now you guys know that we used to support them, down in Brazil, west coast of Brazil. Well, then again, there's only one coast, west coast. The particular religion there is really against his church, because he has a church service on the beach side on Sunday morning, and a lot of people who are passing by stop there and listen to the gospel message. And this particular religion, they have a massive religion down there, and they are very much against this, him and his ministry, which is typical. I'm going to get off the sidetrack for a few minutes. I'm going to make the people mad. I know, but bear with me. I'm the one who's speaking here. In my opinion, this election is probably the most important election for the United States. Let me make this very clear to you. I do not care for Donald Trump. He's not my choice. But he's a far better than the other one, Hillary Clinton, for many reasons. She will make this country far worse than what Obama did. During her administration, at least 3 Supreme Court justices will retire. Problem is that in the last 60 years, Supreme Court justices start to reinterpret the Constitution of the United States. And they did that and making the law. Instead of enforcing the law, they were making the law. And they will alter the Constitution of the United States to fit Hillary Clinton's agenda. What does it mean? That means you can kiss your freedom of religion goodbye and freedom of expression goodbye. And any moment, any comment against her and her agenda will be suppressed legally. And there will be a nationwide civil war. You think, you know, it's not going to? It's already happening. Did you notice the last few weeks, a month, their war against cops? If they're willing to kill cops and execute them for no reason, do you think they'll have a problem? It will be a racial war. Mark my word. It will be white against black, black against white. And you're thinking, what about the Oriental? We're going to let you guys fight over and we'll take over the country. That means the stock market will plunge. Your retirement fund, whatever you save in 401k, will be evaporated. And you're thinking, oh, that is so depressing. I didn't come here to get the depressing news. That's the reality. If you're planning to vote for Hillary Clinton, I'm going to remind you, you vote for her to be a president. Don't complain about all the things she will do. And I hear some people complain about what Obama is doing. They voted for him not only once, twice. Hillary Clinton is absolutely for abortion, killing babies. It's not a woman's choice. It's a survival of babies. I don't understand how Christian, born-again Christian, are willing to vote for anyone who is willing to kill babies. And you're thinking, well, Donald Trump is not much better. Exactly. It's a lesser of two evils. And I heard somebody say, well, I write in somebody else's name. You just throw away your vote. The only way you can stop Hillary Clinton, who are absolutely ungodly, is voting for the Trump. And you're thinking, well, you're going to lose your 501c3 status. So be it. I'm not concerned. You can threaten me with just about anything, including killing, taking away my life. So what? I'm going to be in heaven. Who cares? But you better make a first shot good. Otherwise, you're going to... Some of you guys know what I can do. The persecution against Christianity and the followers of Jesus Christ have been continuing since Jesus started his public ministry. Currently, there are over 100,000 people die in martyr every year around the world for the sake of their belief in Jesus Christ, according to Voice of the Martyrs ministry. This persecution against the believers will be intensified during its maximum during the tribulation time. In case you don't know what the tribulation is, the rapture will happen. Born-again Christian will be taken away. And all those who are not born-again Christian, not the one who proclaimed to be a born-again Christian not living as Christ, not living for Christ, they'll be left behind. And for 7 years, it will be hell on earth. Did you notice what Jesus said in verse 18? For my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. God is allowing persecutions against Christians to bring the testimony of Jesus Christ to the people who persecute them and persecute us. Because God loves them. Would you believe it? God loves our enemies too? But remember, we were once God's enemy as well. He wants them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as well. Our loving God doesn't take the death of his children lightly. According to Psalm 116, verse 15, I'm going to read it to you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The believers of Great Tribulation will start from the right after the rapture, will have a time of opportunity, opposition, and obligation. They will have opportunities to witness from the common people to those who are in authority to punish or kill them as they face persecution. The Holy Spirit will give them the courage to stand and speak and speak through them, much like Stephen did to the Jewish religious leaders in Acts chapter 7. And they will also have opposition from every direction. The family will turn them over to the authority. Father against the children, children against the father, husband against wife, wife against husband. And the daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, so that's not uncommon, right? But they will, family member will betray one another. It's much like a time of Emperor Nero during the Roman Empire, if not worse. I'm speaking to those who are not born-again Christian here. If you are not making the important decision, receiving Jesus into your heart before the end of this service, I hope you do that. You think seriously. If you don't do this, when there is no full-blown persecution against you, physical against persecution against you, what makes you think that you will do during that tribulation? You will do anything to save your skin. Come to the Lord while you can. They will also have obligation. As the ambassador for Christ, they must endure to the end and faithfully perform their ministry, even if it costs them. Go down to verse 24, please. Now he has instruction for the disciple in present day. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, for a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I'll tell you in the dark, seek in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them fall to the ground apart from your father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemy will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me and receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who received a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever received one of these little ones, give one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose. Our God has no secret service agent. Get that? You're thinking, oh, I'm a sleeper. I'm a secret service agent. I don't let other people know that I'm a Christian. Wrong. The public confession of faith in Jesus Christ is a part of the evidence of the true salvation through Him. Our enemy, the devil, has a tactic of secrets and deceptions to oppose our Lord and to trap us. But our lives should be an open book for anyone can see. And we can witness others with our lives. Mostly, and if we, it's necessary, use the word. I like the way St. Augustine said, preach the word, witness to other people. If you need to, use the words. Your life should back what you say. Our life should be not to please man or ourselves over the Lord, but to proclaim His word. What men can do to us may frighten us. They may say, oh, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to torture you. So what? But our Lord holds our eternal future, and He will judge our enemy's future, and He sent them to hell. We don't send them to hell. For their own decision, God allowed them to go with the place they wouldn't have to be with God forever. Confessing the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord takes more than lip service. It also means to back it up with our lives. Anyone can say, Jesus is my Savior. But it is a completely different thing for a person to surrender to Him and obey His will over his own. Our walk and our talk must go together. Are you with me? And someone will say, well, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay. Why are you living with your girlfriend? Well, that's a difference. God says, okay. Really? Where? Show me where the fornication is okay. Oh yeah, Second Opinion. Book of Second Opinion, chapter 6, verse 66. Hogwash. That's why we do this. The Word of God, the absolute truth, has what? Over yours. Don't like it, right? Then follow God. Not what you say, with your heart, with your life. I know I'm not making a whole lot of friends, so what? Once we become born-again Christian, we are part of the war that God declared on Satan. In Genesis 3, after he deceived Eve. If a believer wants to escape conflict from the devil, the people who blindly follow, and devil and the people who blindly follow, they can deny Christ and compromise His witness. But denying Christ would be sin. That means a believer could be at war with God. Are you with me? If you are not at war with Satan and his cohorts, you are at war with God. I guarantee you that you ain't going to win that war. You lose. God wins, period. We can compromise and spare ourselves from the conflict of the devil. Because he will leave you alone. Once you start to follow his way and compromise the word of God, he will leave you alone. As long as you follow God, you continue to become the target. Or deny what our carnal desire wants and take up our cross. Deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. That means being a Christian. Not just carrying this book. Not just saying that you're a Christian and you have a bumper sticker. Doesn't mean anything. Devil can do that. And you may say, well, I believe in God. So does devil. Does it mean he's a believer? He's a believer of Jesus Christ? No. There's no middle ground. Three applications. Number one. No matter how difficult our circumstances may be, we can turn opposition into opportunities to witness about Jesus Christ. We can trust the Holy Spirit to help us remember what the Lord has done. It is God who speaks through you. There's nothing worth hearing from me unless God speaks through. Second application, without the Word of God in our heart, we won't be able to withstand the persecution against our faith in you. That's the reason why I insist you guys to memorize the Word. Put your Word in your heart so that we may not sin against God. Are you with me? Third application, you decide which side you are going to stay with once and for all, God or the devil. There's no middle ground. One more thing. Don't play games with God. Don't say, well, I know what you said in the Bible, but wrong. Just wrong. Do what He says. Honor God. He will bless you.